SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three. Been a fast morning, really, with just the two conversations between Sid Fernando talking about the sale and the news of the day on the stallion front. And then before that, Paul Matisse with the extensive discussion and insight into the computer robotic wagering systems and how they certainly came into clear focus on Saturday at Belmont when it came to the betting patterns on the Dwyer. Well, something else came into focus Saturday, and that is that Kellen Gorder has been brilliantly handling Red Ruby, came out of the splashy Black-Eyed Susan win, gave her plenty of time. When you run on a wet track like that, got to be very careful bringing him back, and boy, oh boy, the performance. If you have not seen the Delaware Oaks, it was just jaw-dropping. Best three-year-old filly performance of 2018 thus far, as measured on the buyer scale, a 104. And Paco Lopez gets along beautifully with this filly, but it's Kellen Gorder who's making it all happen. Kellen, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. You've been bringing this filly along so perfectly. And, I mean, how much did you expect going into Saturday? How much of an expectation was there of a big effort, and then, B, the kind of effort she turned in?
Well, I was pretty confident, but I was a little shocked at what we saw, to tell you the truth. I mean, somebody asked me, one of my handicapper friends texted me and said, who do I fear the most? And I said, I don't fear anybody in here. I really didn't. I know there was some question about, oh, she can only, her last two, she won two stakes and on the slot, but you know there was some question, maybe she can only run on the slot, but I knew that wasn't the case. I wasn't really expecting to win by 13 lengths. That was a bit of a surprise.
You mentioned the two wet track performances, and I was alluding to the fact that you have to be very careful out of wet tracks. I mean, we certainly know that horsemen, unless they absolutely have to get a work in, for a down the road assignment, they generally don't like to work a horse over a wet track. There's some exceptions to that. Shug McGahee, he doesn't mind, and Bill Mott doesn't mind. What's your approach coming out of wins on wet tracks, and what kind of issues do you sometimes encounter coming out of those performances?
You want to make sure that they haven't tweaked something or pulled something, slipping and sliding, if that's the case. But she came out of both of those races in perfect shape. She's so athletic, and she does skip through the wet track. Like some horses seem like they kind of get bogged down in it, and she just seems like she almost skips over top of it. So we didn't see anything. She didn't have any issues.
When you and I
Well, we talked after the Black Eyed Susan, and you were very deliberate about, you know, what you thought you wanted to do with her. And you look at her pedigree and the fact that she's a bit of a of an unusual type in that she debuted going a mile. It was one turn, obviously, at Churchill. But, I mean, she's been a route-going filly from the start. And what does that tell you about the summer? And you would think it's going to be pretty irresistible to circle the Alabama as a target next.
Yeah, that's kind of been the plan. I mean, she's just this filly never gets tired. I mean, I did something on Black Eyed Susan Day that I usually don't do, and that's I trained the filly the day of the race, and I let her kind of go through her, you know, the gears down the front, you know, right down the lane, and she ran big, and so I did it again, maybe not quite as much as I did in, you know, the Black Eyed Susan, but I still trained her on race day there at Delaware, and more than anything, I'm doing that to, because she's a bit of a handful in the post parade. As soon as this jockey hits her back, she's a handful. She just, and it's not that she's nervous. It's just that she doesn't see any point of the post parade. She doesn't get it. It's like game on. You know, she's like swimming in the gate. Paco took her away from the pony this time. Tried that, and you know, every time she's going away from the gate, she wants to. When she turns, she whips around and like just stares at the gate, like put me in. Like, yeah, I mean, he finally had the pony hook onto him, and they took the filly up by the gate, and he actually had one of the gate guys grab her like at 3 minutes to post, and just like was just trying to lead her around, and she would be like, she'd run in a little circle and then stop and look at the gate. And like once they started loading, and she walked right up in the gate and stood in there perfect, but it's nerve wracking when they're out there. And I don't really know how to stop that. I just know that you can't get in a fight with this filly. So maybe we just have to live with it. I don't know.
Well, this is clearly a filly that at this point in the calendar, with the Black Eyed Susan and Wynn and the Delaware Oaks, a chance in the Alabama, she has every opportunity, Kellen, to shoulder her way. I mean, Monomoy Girl obviously is the division leader, very clearly. Wonder Godot, you know, in the conversation. But, you know, Red Ruby could make this second half of the season pretty interesting among the three-year-old fillies.
Yeah, I think she will. I think that's where we're still on target to be in Saratoga on 18th of August.
Perfect. Well, excited to have Red Ruby join into the festivities here. Meanwhile, Kellen, let's also talk a little bit about some other things going on. And there's been a couple of recent wins, including one of my favorites that I always ask you about. Bootsy's Had Enough. I just love Bootsy.
Yeah. She we took her. I got a pretty nice Ohio bred filly named Mishap, and you know, there's just limited opportunities for Ohio bred. And she, I ran her on the turf at Belterra. She was second, and she came back 2 weeks later and beat the boys in the same division race against Ohio bred boys. And so there was the next stake on the program. The Ohio bred program was up at Thistle Downs, and so we were watching the condition book, and overnight came out for that day where there was a Ohio bred stake up there where I was going to run this app. They happened to have a straight nine winners at three allowance race, for which was right up Bootsy's, had enough. That was her condition, and so we just put two on the van instead of one. And
I love it.
Bootsy ended up winning. She kind of got pinched off at the start and shuffled back to last, but we might have discovered another dimension, and that's coming from behind, you know, off the pace, sprinting. She ran a really nice race.
Well, and Mishap ran in the Gold Cup, right?
Yeah.
Cleveland Gold Cup.
But, yeah. Yep. She ran fourth in there. So, she's got, there's one more race left for her at Belterra, a mile and an eighth on the dirt against 3-year-old fillies. I think that's like July 22nd or something. So, yeah, we're excited about those horses too. And I entered one in Indiana Elks today. Filly named Diamond Coat, a gemologist filly,
yep,
that just won her first level allowance race at Indiana. Got a nice 3-year-old filly maiden that I just entered today, up in Indiana also, so a turf filly.
What's her name?
Pinotage. She made one start last year. She's really big. She's 17 hand.
Eesh.
And we gave her a bunch of ten. She's an exchange rate filly. And she was fourth in her first start this year at Indiana on the turf. And so we entered her back. It'll be her second start. So
Pinotage, very good. We'll look for that Saturday. You know, you mentioned Indiana, and you're pretty much operating all over the place. You've got opportunities undoubtedly at Ellis with the young horses. We'll talk about 2-year-olds in a minute. I do want to ask you, what's next for Dora Danza?
Dora, she bled in her last race, and so she said, 30 days. She had 30 days off, and she came back looking great. She's put on 40 pounds, and looks like a different horse. And so we got a little bit of time yet. I don't really have a set plan with her, but excited to have her back for sure.
Excellent, because we saw her. Saw her at Pimlico as well. 2-year-olds, give us a glance. How do you feel about the 2-year-olds coming along?
I think I've got seven 2-year-olds at the 2-year-old sale. So, got a nice Fed Biz filly we bought in March. It'll be a sale. Her name is La Biz, and she's getting ready. She's up to working half miles, and she's actually a half sister to that good horse I had, Royal Sun.
Oh,
that,
sure.
Broke the track record at Turfway last this past
year. Yeah.
And so she looks very promising. And then I picked up six more 2-year-olds at the 2-year-old sale in June at OBS. And I got a Cairo Prince and a Philly and a Giants Causeway colt and a cross track traffic colt and a elusive quality Philly and a Blaine colt, Tapazar colt. I found it was a good place to shop because, you know, towards the end of the season like that, I think those guys, sometimes they don't want to carry them. They might kind of adjust their reserves and
yep.
They don't want to race them. They've done good in maybe some with a few other horses earlier in the sale season and tend to take those reserves off and let them go. And so I think we picked up some nice horses.
It sounds like it, and I will completely agree because we bought 3 New York breds the same way.
Yeah.
I talked about them yesterday. Kellen, you get on a lot of your own horses. When you get a horse out of a 2-year-old in training sale, I ask this periodically of horsemen, is it your tendency to go on with them right away, or do you like to let a little air out of them after the intensity typically of the Brie Show pressure cooker? I've had Peter Miller say he goes right on with them. Kieran McLaughlin likes to give him time. What's your mm-hmm. approach?
This depends on the horse. I mean, some of them, you know, if they look immature or if they're too light, if they don't have enough weight on them, I'll turn them out, you know, and give them 30 to 45 days. That's what I did with the Fed Basilia bought early on at March. She just looked immature, like not all the parts were together yet. And so she got 30 days out in the field. And then, like the Giants Causeway colt I got out of the sale, you know, I just kept, he just went right on, and he's actually going to breeze this weekend. The Cairo Prince filly, she's a little bit light. She's going to get some time. And then, you know, the Tapazar colt, I paid only $10,000 for him. And he had some shins. And he's a double rig. So he ended up taking him into did surgery on him to geld him, and he's going to need a little bit of time for his shins anyway, so it just depends on the horse. Yeah,
I'm glad I've asked, and I that's the first time doing this 13 years, that's the first time I've heard the term a double rig, meaning a horse with two undistended testicles. Never come up before.
I don't think I've ever seen it myself. But I mean, it's a good looking horse. I mean, $10,000 is what we paid for him. I didn't think we could make too bad of a mistake there.
There you go. Exactly. I'm glad you just gave me a topic for Dr. Alday. That's the double rig. Well, Kellen, always pleased for you whenever you do well, and I appreciate this. Looking forward to seeing you here at Saratoga. Maybe we'll be talking as soon as Monday after the Indiana
right.
Oaks.
Yep, sounds good. Thank you.
Not at all. Kellen Gorder, everybody, who does just a really good job and operates really a little under the radar, and yet has been winning for gosh, it's a good long while at this point since Kellen Gorder's career got underway, and got a tremendous respect for how he conducts his business, and he's got a set of loyal owners do well to be in business with Kellen Gorder. Let's take a break. Look forward to Red Ruby in the Alabama as she adds her name to the elite status of three-year-old fillies. Taking a break here, bottom of the hour, Seth Merrow. And Seth is up in Maine. He's doing his pre-Saratoga preparation. In fact, I'm just realizing, oh boy, this is going to be, oh boy. We start doing the TV show, I think, on Sunday, which is Tina's birthday. This is going to be ugly. Pray for me, folks. When I tell her this, she's not going to be happy. Yeah, it's Derby Barbie's birthday on Sunday, the 15th, and I'm pretty sure Seth said we're starting the Sunday before Saratoga opens, as opposed to the first Sunday of the meet. I will confirm that next, and we will go through the, I assume that Seth actually looked at some races. Goes over to Scarborough Downs and hobnobs, with the Down Easterners. Seth Merrow from the Merrow Compound outside of Portland. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Well, sweet talk. I got a knocking in my knees and a wobble in my walk. I'm trembling and I'm shaking. And when you take me in your arms to talk romance, my heart stops though and the Saint Vitus dance. And I'm panting and I'm shaking.
We're back at the races, and it's not it's actually late in the morning, 11:35 here in the east. We'll look forward to going down east, and Seth Merrow at the family, the ancestral home of the Maine Merrows. Good morning, Seth.
Yeah, you lucked out. I'm sitting here looking out at the beautiful view by myself. 3 days ago, there was crying babies and dogs in the background, but it's nice and quiet here today. Still some family left. They left to the went to the beach earlier. I'm headed right behind them, but things have quieted down after a big family gathering for the 4th, which was fun.
Really nice. Are there fireworks out over that bay that you overlook?
No, headed down to Portland. They shoot them out over the water down in Portland. Very good show. Very good grand finale. It's also kind of interesting in the middle of the fireworks. And it's a whole, there's a big sloping bank, a park that overlooks. And so, I don't know, you know, tens of thousands of people. But about the middle of the fireworks, the group behind us started singing the Star Spangled Banner. And everybody joined in. It was kind of fun.
Oh, that's sweet. Certainly the weather has cooperated, and if we get a continuation of what's been going on for, let's just call it, I don't know, 2/3 of Saratoga, it's going to be a great summer.
Yeah, we had the crazy good weather three years ago where it just was phenomenal, and if this keeps up, you know, we had a rainstorm blow through here yesterday, but it was the end of the afternoon. The rest of the day was great. And there was that summer, as I say, 2 or 3 years ago, where it was a similar thing. Off days or mornings, you might get a little rain, and the afternoons were great. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. But we had such a quirky, and I had people say, the winter and the early spring, we had some bad weather, and they missed a lot of turf racing on the East Coast. And a lot of people said, you know, you get to the end of the year, and you look back at the weather and the statistics for the year, it all evens out. So maybe that bodes well for a really good summer, the poor spring we had. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, because certainly it's been beautiful the past couple of weeks.
Good point. Well, you'll be home soon enough. And as I was getting ready to bring you in, it occurred to me that, if I'm not mistaken, are we starting Sunday?
We are. And I heard your dilemma. I mean, it's a prelim. I could go solo if need be. If that makes peace in the family, but just let me know, because we got to come up with some guests and everything. But we are kicking off. We're actually Capital OTB itself. I'm headed back tomorrow. We're doing a live simulcast from the Harness Track. That should be fun, because we were there a couple weeks ago, and then we actually start on the backstretch on Friday.
All right. Well, let me broach the subject gingerly with the birthday girl.
Just make it
with
a big day for the day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's how it works, Seth. Says the guy who's single. I'll let you know where we stand.
Yeah, bring her along and tell her she can watch. That'll go big.
Yeah. The thing is, we had talked about maybe getting we were downstate. We went Saturday to Belmont.
You hopping in the car right after the show? You going to go down and watch Carlisle Bell?
I don't think so, because we were going to scratch. I mean, we're running, but I didn't expect to run. It's just that we've been waiting. I mean, she's been ready to run for 3 weeks, and one of the strange dilemmas that the game faces. Everybody says, oh, there's not enough horses. And yet we've been sitting around literally for 3 weeks waiting for just the 40,000 non-winners of two, even open company. It didn't even have to be a state bred. And the thing is, it's she wants to go long. They don't materialize. There were plenty of them
on the grass. And in fact, there's one we could have entered back for Saturday, 40 non-winners at two, but on the turf. We don't want to MTO maybe. Maybe this summer we'll try some MTO stuff. But what else are we going to do? You can't keep the horse in the barn indefinitely. And it's one of those things, Seth, that when I see people complaining about field size and, in the meantime, we got horses that are, can't get in a race.
Yeah, as I, over the years, as I've become more familiar with the personalities behind the game and particularly the owners, that is something that as just a fan, you don't even think about, but strikes owners all the time. We have horses and they fit certain conditions and the condition just doesn't come up. And I've run into any number of people over the years who just are totally frustrated. Wasn't it Chuck Simon at Parks a few years ago, just had a string of horses that he couldn't find starts for, and they had the quirky situation there where you would get preference if you're a Pennsylvania bred, so races would come up and then he would get knocked out because of the breeding kind of stipulation as well. And as I say, it's something that people just don't realize. If you're a fan, it's something you just never think about.
Well, so we're gonna have to watch from here, and so be it. But we're excited because we got the 3 2-year-olds that are at Belmont and getting ready. Talked about him yesterday, and so it should be a very fun summer at Saratoga on that front.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I say, we kick off our programming on Friday, and all of the equipment's up there and the set's all ready to go, so the season starts. I'm squeezing in my last beach time, and that's been fun. Oh, and also I have to go back. I was listening to the show while I'm sitting here looking out at the ocean. I had the cave right. I did not say parakeet in the cage. I had parakeet in the coal mine. I knew it was the coal mine. I just had the bird wrong.
It's one of my favorites. I can't.
Parakeet, canary.
I'll never forget. It's a classic. Seth Merrow, folks. We're going to rely on you. Might as well you bring up the racing today. And I'm guessing you looked through this pick six sequence?
I did.
All right, great.
I think
great.
It's a really tough sequence, I will say.
Well, there's some notable scratches. Have you seen the scratches?
Yeah, I've gone through scratches. And I'm just looking down my list. Yeah, 3 of my top picks had scratched.
Right.
Yeah.
Okemo in the 9th and probably Satisfy in the 6th and don't know who else would have of that on that front that might have scratched for you. Anyway, let's start. $50,000 carryover, and you would think that there'll be another $250,000 bet into it. So it's a fun sequence, and it starts with maiden special 6 furlongs on the inner turf. You can scratch the 3 No Deal from Phil Serpy, and you do have an important surface move. Chad Brown moves Wise Strike to the grass as this filly debuts as a 4-year-old.
Yeah, and that may be the one that you can rely on in the sequence. As I said, I think it's a tough sequence, but I put the Chad horse on top at its 6, 8, and 5. Question mark is the layoff and the surface switch, but coming out of that barn, I'll trust them to be making the correct move. I think the numbers fired in the first 3 starts, which were last summer, were all nice and improving. Then there was a layoff. So, there's a concern on the fitness and the surface, but if I was going to lean on one horse, Wise Strike would probably be the one. But I have it 6, 8, and 5, and I thought the Mark Hennig horse off of the start last time, which just seemed to kind of indicate maybe the horse is kind of figuring it out. It was a nice number. I mean, it was the finishing position wasn't anything to write home about, but it was a nice number that seems to show some improvement there. And compared to the rest of this field, fits in pretty nicely. And then Majestic won, the Jeremiah horse, who debuted on the dirt down at Gulfstream last December. Pretty good-looking debut. Majestic Warrior on top. I think there's a little early win punch there. And so this horse may come back with a little added maturity now off of that December to July layoff. So I thought the 5 was kind of interesting, too. So I went 6, 8, 5.
I put Wise Strike on top, too. And my inclination, although there is a bit of a, with the other changes, I suppose now, particularly with Okemo coming out of the ninth, that complicates things because I was inclined to maybe single there. But anyway, Weistreich, agree on the lean. You mentioned the Hennig for Don Adam and her latest film. This is as regally bred a filly as you're going to come across. Warfront, out of the wonderful filmmaker, the Dynaformer, multiple graded stake winner, personal favorite of mine. The issue is, these turnbacks on the turf, they rarely seem to work. The only person who seems to get it done is Linda Rice. It's not the same thing turning back on the grass as it is on the turf. So I used Majestic One as my second horse, 6.58 for me, and with the scratch of No Deal, I threw in Butchie Reed, and this is a bit of a curiosity. St. Edmund's Girl, she's a New York bred. She's worked well for the debut. She debuts against Open Company, and there's a chance, I suppose, that she's not registered properly, or I don't know. But I don't know why she would face off against Open Company when she could pretty easily find a group of state breds. And then the other question you ask yourself is, if that's the case, I mean, Butchie could have run her at Monmouth, Delaware, or Philadelphia against easier Open Company. Yeah. So why does he bring her to New York? Which kind of tells you that chances are it's because the purse is $75,000. So kind of interesting that the St. Edmund's Girl, the state bred, shows up. Anyway, a couple of asides there. The second leg, 35,000, or make it 32,000, going a mile and a 16th on the grass. You can scratch Michael Wonderful from Rudy on the rail, but it leaves you with, in particular, three horses that seem highly logical. Congruity on the outside for Danny Gargan, and then Spectacular Plum, Louis Carvajal. I like coming up from Monmouth, 5-1, and Year of the Kitten on the drop.
Yeah, I actually like the one, so that scratch hurt me a little bit. I thought that horse just kind of looked interesting, maybe primed to run well. But then I went 5, 6, 3, and 7. I put Year of the Kitten on top. I think on the class relief, maybe a little bit of a wake up. But again, this is a horse I had underneath. I kind of had the other one on top, so I move up on a scratch, and those are always a little bit dicey to jump into with much confidence. So this is one of those races, as I say, in the sequence is a little bit dicey for me. The three horse is interesting. I had the six in between, so My Pirate, I'll just mention that one, because if you're looking at horses coming out of that race, the horse won. But I also like the horse that ran second back on June 15th. The three horse, who was a good second, that was the first try on the turf, so may have indicated an affinity for the surface. Lifetime best buyer figure, so I wouldn't be surprised if that one runs well also. And then the seven also pulled in when I had the scratch. A little bit of early speed last time, so I think that could be a play or two. But as I say, this is one in the sequence that, to me, I think you make arguments for and against a few of them, but I went 5, 6, 3, and 7.
Okay. Third leg, which we're involved in, state bred fillies going 1 mile and two very big scratches. Satisfy comes out for Leanna Williford, who of course is standing in for Bill Mott for a couple more days. And Leanna, it's cool to see her name in the program. Long time number one assistant for Bill for years, and she's been sending them out. Of course, we talked on Monday with Drew Malika, and talked about what satisfactory conclusion to the long, annoying situation for Bill. Take Charge Aubrey comes out too, who I thought was very much a major player in here for Bruce Levine and Glenn Crest. So that opens things up. I ended up kind of I was using Salty Smile as the win candidate anyway. Rosario for John Toscano, and should get a very good up-close outside stalking trip. There's a lot of pace in here, Seth.
Yeah, I had the 9 and the 4 on top, so again, I scratch up. I didn't use the 10, but I wouldn't argue there. They put on the blinkers, though. I'm wondering what the style will be exactly with that one, who has kind of been stalking the last few. I went 5, 7, and 8, the 5 Pink Twist. First three starts of the career were pretty good. They got in and off the turf for a last time and threw in an absolute clunker. That was not only off the turf. It was a sloppy track. They had tried the blinkers. I'm hoping going back to more of the comfort zone, a dry track, the blinkers back off again today. A little bullet workout since. We'll get back to the numbers we saw in the first few starts. So Pink Twist was on top. I went out to the 7, Pas de Deux, who a couple of career starts so far, broke the maiden last time. That was on a sloppy track. And that one and the 8, Rachel's Blue Moon, again, they were down in the 4th and 5th positions for me before the scratches, so I don't use them with a lot of confidence. To me, this would be another race. Because the sequence is so tough, I would probably take a shot and just use Pink Twist.
Well, the issue in here, and one of the reasons when Gary and I talked this morning about staying in, is how much speed there is. And even with Satisfy coming out, Take Charge Aubrey was more of a kind of a mid-pack stalking type. But you look at, you mentioned Pass the Deuce for John Morrison. You've got Strawberry Tequila from coming out of sprints. You've got Rachel's Blue Moon, who is a closing sprinter. The Salty Smile figures to set up shop outside. You got to think that Pink Twist goes back to the speed tactics. I mean, there is just 5 or 6 horses that are going to press here. So, you know, our concept is, you know, just kind of settle and come with one run and hope that the race collapses and pick up a piece. And frankly, Gary's other horse, Woodbury Payne and Olga, their Masmania, she's got the same kind of concept, you know, which is to save ground and come with a run. So to me, Salty Smile, I mean, not going to get 10 to 1 now, but Salty Smile is the right price. I think there's just too much pace for all the ones you're citing. How about Puffery? What's wrong with Puffery exactly on the stretch out here? She looks like, you know, certainly being by Flatter and out of an Eddington mare, that's something that she'll like. So I threw Puffery in as well.
Race 2 back, certainly.
Yeah.
And we'll toss out 10-5-3 guys, and I'll also toss out, Gary's having a nice meet.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He really has. And there's a bunch of, there's a number of 2-year-olds that are coming along. So it'll be, because it might be tough to come back and you know, win as much as he has this early summer and spring at Belmont. But it was a tremendous meet.
Yeah.
Let's look at the second half of this pick 6 sequence. Got about 3 minutes. Mile and a 16th, State Bred Allowance. And there's some nice ones in here.
Yeah, I went 2, 4, 3, and 6. I put Honor Up on top. Again, coming out of the Mott stable and trained now by the assistant because of the few days still on suspension, but Honor Up looks pretty good to me on some nice improving numbers over the past few starts. I put Blurred Line in the second spot. The Danny Carrigan horse broke the maiden last time, but again, number-wise, I think is a pretty good fit with this group. And then the number 3, Carthen, also just number-wise, again, coming out of Gary's barn, and he's going very well right now. Broke the maiden 2 back and got some experience at this level last time. I think number-wise, they're all pretty even, but I just would tilt it a little bit in favor of Honor Up. So 2, 4, 3, and 6 for me.
Well, the only issue here is you have to make a decision on turf. You've got both Honor Up and Carthon. They're both trying grass, and I think that isn't exactly not the easiest decision to make. I went outside to Tim Hills and Blame the Thief. going to be a square number, and to me is a perfect fit with Blurred Line, who's going to be on or near the lead anyway. And so I went 8-4. And then Phone Funky Monkey needs to be looked at here. It came back and it had a little bit of an awkward trip in that three-year-old debut going back to beginning of June. So, and it wasn't a bad effort after ending the season at Saratoga last year, like a good thing, breaking the maiden. So, for me, 8-4, 6-5, and I just used both of the first-time turfers, both Honor Up and Carthon. I used them both as Cs. Open company allowance, mile and a 16th, eighth race, and for me, I'm going to try to sneak through with just Gucci Factor and Wrapped, the 3 and the 1.
Ooh, I got to have them underneath. I had the 6 on top. That one scratched. I went 7-3-1. I thought Harlan's Hunch with the early speed might be able to take him all the way around. I mean, a couple of good front-end tries in the last two starts, including the win last time. So we'll hope he can do it again, but I used your 3 and 1 right underneath.
There you go. Nightcap. And the nightcap becomes a real problem because of Okemo scratching, and it throws this into a real conundrum. 4 first-time starters. You've got Our American Star from The Dude, and that race last time absolutely could win this. Shuffling Madness, making a third career start, and then you've got Leap to Glory that drops into State Bred Maiden Company. Off the maiden special weight, first time with Charlton Baker. So this is second time with Charlie, and that may be the trick.
I went 8-4, 3-1. I had Okemo on top, obviously. So another top pick I lost to a scratch. But the 8, the Bruce Brown Firster by Bluegrass Cat, you know, some nice workouts and maybe a little bit of breeding there. Then the Linda Rice Firster, Dr. Vuno or Vano, the number 4 horse. Again, I think Dublin's not super first time out, but can get it done. Goes for 40 tags, so I thought that horse was interesting coming down from the training track up at Saratoga. And then of those that have run, Our American Star, certainly on the numbers, looks pretty good in there. So for me, 8-4, 3-1.
Very good. Well, Seth, I appreciate it, and I see that there's a Twitter question, and I'm sure they copied you in on your Twitter account. Oh, wait.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen before Saratoga. I've always said that like 100 times.
Sure it does.
Well, I am going to make it happen.
Any Scarborough Downs or Bangor Raceway suggestions?
I haven't made a Scarborough Downs trip so far this season. Yeah, no, I haven't
made one
yet this season.
I've
just been too busy.
All right. Well, you are the face of GoTV.
We kick it off on Friday. Let me know your situation on Sunday.
I will. Seth Merrow, everybody, equidaily.com, capital OTB TV. I will make my final adjustments, and my friend Bassam just let me know. Not only was Blame the Thief gelded, which was the change in the program, but now scratched as well. So I'm going to have to make an adjustment in the 7th race. Let me work on this, and I will post my pick 4, pick 5, pick 6 in just a couple of minutes, probably by 12:30. I've got to run into Saratoga. I'm going to be I'm going to be emceeing, I guess, is the right word, right? The Unbridled Affair, Thursday, July 26th, the Captain fundraiser, and they do such a wonderful job for underprivileged children in the Capital District, and we're having a meeting, so I got to be in Saratoga in just a little bit, but I will take care of everybody on the Belmont call. Shortly. Safe trip to Angel Arroyo and Carlisle Bell. I want to thank Paul Matisse, Sid Fernando, Kellen Gorder, and Seth. Good luck today if you're playing. Lots to choose from. Back tomorrow with you, of course. Pete Fornatel, Steve Haskin, and got to catch up with Rich Yang. I've been remiss. And Tony Black, and so much more. It's also last visit of the year for Andrew Hawkins. The season coming to a close at Hong Kong. We're coming to a close, too. HRRN picks up the ball at 3 o'clock here on SiriusXM. I'll talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody.
Latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.